Welcome to this week's edition of the St. Paul Podcast. I'm Peter Marty, Senior Pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church, located in the heart of Davenport, Iowa. Right here each week, you can hear a message to inspire your walk with God and hear beautiful music to fill your life. Let this podcast be your occasion to contemplate some of the deepest things in life, just as I hope it helps faith come alive for you.
Friends, welcome to this worship podcast from St. Paul Lutheran Church. My name is Katie Warren. I'm one of the pastors here. Whether this is the first time you're tuning in here or you regularly listen to this podcast, thank you for connecting in this way. I hope the music and prayers and reflection of this podcast will bring some sense of renewal for you today. Today's podcast is from the fourth Sunday in the season of Easter. And oftentimes on this particular day, we refer to it as the Good Shepherd Sunday because we read a gospel passage where Jesus compares himself to a shepherd. And we'll talk about that metaphor a little bit later in the sermon. Hold on to that image a little bit because it's a helpful way to frame the passage from the New Testament of Acts that I will read for you in just a moment. You don't have to know much background about this section of scripture except to know that it's one of a handful of verses or passages that's often used to help talk about this Christian idea of salvation. Or if you're going to put it really simply, this question of who gets into heaven. As a pastor, one of the questions I think I probably hear people wrestle with the most is some version of that very question. You can pose it in lots of different ways. Questions like, who is saved? Or who's going to hell? Who will spend eternity in the embrace of God? And who won't? And maybe more to the point, a lot of us wonder, how do we know? What's the criteria or the boxes we have to check to make sure that we're secured in God's love? It's a question I would be willing to bet that we have all wrestled with to some degree, we've wondered about, and it's one worth giving some real thought to. So what you're about to hear is just one attempt to try to approach a pretty complex question of faith but I hope it might provide some insight for you. But first, before we get to that, here are the words from Acts chapter 4 that will serve as sort of our jumping off point today. Listen closely to that last verse, which is what many people might use to support a kind of perspective on heaven and this idea of Christian salvation. From Acts chapter 4. When the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family, they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, and they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and the elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, but it has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Okay, before we turn to the sermon, one quick programming note. Early on, you'll hear that I reference a story about Pope Francis and an interaction he has. And in worship, we watched a brief clip of this exchange. It's pretty powerful to experience the emotion between these two. And if you would like to see that clip for yourself, there's a link included below. Feel free to hit pause, switch over to the video for a few moments, and then you can return back. And if not, that's fine too. I think you'll get a good sense of what's happening by the description that's within the message as well. So let's take a listen. Pope Francis, he is no stranger to controversy every now and then. He has ruffled some feathers from time to time, at least probably more so than some of his predecessors. He's had a way of challenging some long-standing church doctrine. And one such instance took place several years ago now at a small Catholic church just on the outskirts of Rome, where the Pope happened to be making a visit. And as part of his time there, a handful of kids were selected to ask him a question, any question of faith that they might have. So the first kid to go, he was 6-year-old, named Emmanuel. What the Pope didn't know at the time, but would soon learn, is that Emmanuel's dad had recently died. His dad was also not a Christian, so in the midst of this total heartbreak that you can imagine for this little boy, Emmanuel had a very important question he wanted to ask. Would his dad go to heaven? Pretty heavy question for a 6-year-old. So I want to take a look real quick at what unfolds as he begins to ask his question of Pope Francis. It's almost though maybe he was embarrassed to ask his question, or maybe to hear the answer he was afraid of what the Pope might say. But essentially, the Pope goes on to share what was exchanged between the two of them, and Emmanuel told him his dad was a very good man, but he was not a believer. He wasn't a Christian. And so he was wondering, is there any chance my dad would go to heaven? And Pope Francis goes on to then address the crowd after he'd had this conversation with the boy, and he told them what he had said to him. He says, especially to that group of kids who's kind of in front of him, "Do you think that God is pleased with us when we do good things, not just when we believe good things?" And everyone in the group sort of says, "Yes. Yes." And then he asks, "Well, we know that God has a heart of a papa, a parent. So," he said, "do you think that God, who has a papa's heart, would be able to leave Emmanuel's dad far from himself, far from God's self?" And the children sort of look at each other and say, "No." And the Pope says, "Say it louder with conviction so Emmanuel could hear you." And so they shout, "No, no." "There is your answer," Pope Francis says, looking right into the eyes of little Emmanuel. "God, who loves us with a parent's heart, could not leave your dad far from himself." And with that, the little boy sort of smiles as much as he can through his tears, and they move on to the next question.
There are plenty of things Pope Francis and I, or you, may not agree on together, but in this instance, as I watched this exchange, I had nothing but gratitude for how he took some pretty nuanced Christian theology or doctrine and articulated it in such a way that brought not only relief, but hope and peace to one little kindergartner. And honestly, probably many others who have since heard that response as well. Of course, as you can imagine, in the days that followed that conversation, there were also plenty of people who criticized that answer. There were news headlines that said things like, "Pope faces backlash for telling children that atheists go to heaven." Some people weren't so pleased with his interpretation of church teaching. Whether you find that answer of his to be particularly refreshing or maybe problematic, the truth is that Emmanuel is by far not the first person to ever wrestle with such a question. People have spent way too much time than we should debating and deliberating about who's in or who's out, who's included and who's excluded, trying to figure out the criteria for making it into heaven or finding yourself in God's good graces. And if we wanted to find an answer to such a question, assuming we don't have the Pope at our disposal to ask him the question, we might first look at Scripture to give us some answers, some direction. And those who criticized the Pope that day, I would be certain that they would have referenced this verse that Max read for us a few moments ago from the book of Acts, where Peter, he's kind of giving a little mini sermon himself, and he says, There is salvation in no one else. That is no one other than Jesus, for there is no name under heaven by which we must be saved. Plenty of people have read just that verse, and they might say, here's proof, right here. Unless you confess that Jesus is Lord, unless you profess specific Christian doctrine, there is no way to salvation, no other way into the kingdom of God. And yet, I would argue that that one verse is really meant to be considered as part of a much larger context of the whole book of Acts and well beyond. If you keep reading into that book of Acts, there's story after story of where God keeps acting in surprising ways, where God is anything but predictable or contained by a certain definition. At first, most of Jesus' followers believed that if you wanted to follow Jesus, you needed to become Jewish. So from the start, there were these boundaries. There were defined walls around God's love of who's in and who's out. But God just kept trying to open up those boundaries throughout the rest of the New Testament. More and more people started to hear about God's love, people who were Jewish and people who were not. And the ability to know God and to experience the love of God, it just kept spreading in ways that couldn't be contained by any human beings. There are those beautiful words from John's gospel that we hear as well this morning, where Jesus compares himself to a kind of shepherd. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I love my flock. I would give everything for them. I even lay down my life for them. But," he says, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I will bring them in as well. They will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock, one shepherd." Jesus keeps pushing that circle farther and farther, breaking down the walls of saying who is worthy of God's love, who's followed the correct faith. We may not know who those other sheep are that he's referring to, nor do we really need to. We just know that God loves them the same. God will find a way to shepherd them, envelop them in love. And that's not up to us to determine. Just this past Wednesday evening, it was our last night of confirmation. We have this kind of annual tradition or ritual on that last night, what we call Ask the Pastor, similar to Ask the Pope, but probably less helpful, where we field questions from our curious, our insightful teenagers who are developing their own sense of faith. We try to answer their questions as best we can. And nearly every year, there is some version from some teenager of the same exact question. They'll say something like, well, what about my best friend who's Muslim? Will he go to heaven? What about people who've committed a crime and never asked for forgiveness? Did they go to heaven? What about people who have never heard of God or people who don't want to know God? How do we know what happens to them? And it dawns on me that as our teenagers are trying to form their own understanding of who God is and what God is about, it seems to me that there's just this real desire to figure out the boundaries. What do we have to believe to make sure that we fall on the right side of things? And what I would say, what any of us pastors often say when we're answering such a question on that evening, is something along the lines of, that verse from Acts is just part of the story. For instance, there's also another passage in 1 John that says, God is greater than each of our hearts, and we are all called children of God. I don't understand a whole lot of things about how God operates, but I feel pretty confident that God is indeed greater than any of our own hearts, which means God's love is bigger than any walls that I might try to construct or build myself. I'm guessing by virtue of your presence here in this space this morning, it is safe to say that your life has in some way, shape, or form been molded by the love of God. And so we get to spend our life telling others about the goodness of God and the difference that the mercy and grace of Jesus make in each of our own lives. But what I hope we remember this morning is that whenever we might start to think that any part of our own lives is beyond God's redeeming, or if we should start to wonder if any person or group of people is beyond saving, beyond the power of God's love, my hope is that you might just picture that beautiful moment of embrace between Pope Francis and this little Emmanuel, with the Pope answering unwaveringly, remember, God loves each of us with a papa's heart, a parent's heart, and God would never want to be far from any of us. Amen.
All creatures worship God most high. Sound every voice in earth and sky. Take your part and worship God with humble heart.
We'll turn now to God in prayer, speaking the words Jesus taught us through the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, wherever you might find yourself in the coming days, whoever you might be with, whatever you might be wondering about God, I hope you'll remember at least one simple thing this week. God is much less interested in boundaries and much more interested in love. God, with a parent's heart, wants nothing more than to draw close to each of us. May that knowledge bless you and encourage you today. Amen.
I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and thanks for your support of the ministries of St. Paul Lutheran Church. Our commitment to projects that lend hope to other people stretches across the country and around the world. We hope that in a good way you feel a part of that reach. Tune in next Thursday for another edition of the St. Paul Podcast.